This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. An F-16 pilot gets reassigned to a desk job flying drones. An unexpected pregnancy moves her from the cockpit to a windowless trailer in Nevada, where she hunts and kills insurgents from an armchair. That's the plot of the play Grounded by George Brandt. It explores the psychological fallout of drone warfare and what it means to be a bystander. The one-woman show opens at Durham's Man Bites Dog Theater on Friday, and first we are joined by director Talia Klein and actress Madeline Lambert. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Madeline, tell us a little bit about your character. Who is this character?
Well, she is an F-16 fighter pilot who finds herself in a bit of a pickle. She is pregnant, and she takes leave from flying in the blue, which is something that George says. And she goes back to her commander after she has been away for 3 years, and she is assigned to the Chair Force, which is controlling drones in a trailer in the middle of the desert in Nevada. And she has to come to terms with, or actually she doesn't come to terms with this, but she has to learn what it is to engage in drone warfare and how she manages coming home from the war every day as opposed to transitioning home once a year. She's transitioning home once a day.
Wow. So this is, and tell you, this is something that, correlates with real life. So how
yes.
much research did George do, the author, and you as the director to bring this to life on the stage?
Well, I believe George did. I did his homework for sure. When we were working on the play, Madeline and I, anytime there was a reference that we didn't understand or we knew a little bit about, but just not enough about, we made sure we didn't take anything for granted. A great example of that is they refer to the chairs that the people who fly drones sit in as Naugahyde bark loungers. And we had to make sure, we're like, are they actually Naugahyde bark loungers? And, you know, do they? And in doing that, in what was really funny is if you Google Naugahyde bark lounger, not only does this play come up, but references to yeah. drone warfare come up. And so that was incredibly interesting to us. But in doing that, we got immersed in information about what it's like. People are very open, we discovered. Pilots who fly drones have been very open about talking about their experience doing so. And I think that in part inspired George.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thought to think about, you know, what that means to be going from the Chair Force, which I guess is another term that must be sort of widely used in the Air Force.
Yeah.
It sounds like a derisive term.
It is. In the play, her commander scolds her for using that yeah. term. He says, you know, that's not what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's too good of a term to pass up.
Tell us about the set.
Our set is... I've been working with a New York designer, Tilly Grimes, who I love collaborating with. And she and I had a conversation when we started this play. And both of us are very fascinated with working in the room that we're in. We're very engaged in actually sitting down and being present with the architecture of the space that we're in. We don't want to jump to put anything on top of it. And Man Bites Dog is such a neat, cool space to do that in. We're very lucky because, if I had a choice, I would make theater all the time in a space like Man
yeah.
Bites Dog because it's this old warehouse. Yeah. And there was something about that, you know, the windows are high up on the walls and it's this old cinder block wall. And there's something very bunker-like
yeah.
about that space. Mm-hmm. And so Tilly and I really embraced that. So when you walk into the space, you might think, oh, my goodness, there's no set. But actually, the set is the space. And I'm proud to say we're doing this play with nothing but a folding chair and a bottle of Pepsi.
Wow. That's and well, and you're right about Man Bites Dog because it's got this earthy, gritty reality, mm-hmm. and for reasons that I can't explain, in the midst of the most real, palpable experience you can have in Durham, it puts you in mind in a place where you want to activate your imagination.
Absolutely,
it's right? a magical space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about doing a one woman show? Because ordinarily we think about that. We think about sort of dipping back into memory and sort of and having to create multiple characters through one body, but this right. sounds like a very different role.
It is. You know, it's really focusing on the story that George has created. And I would argue, actually, that I'm not alone, that there's an audience there, and they are witnessing this play and participating in this play. And the play is special because it acknowledges that fact, that the audience is implicit in the telling of the story. So while I may be standing alone on a stage, I'm actually surrounded by 100 people, hopefully.
And the story, one of the principal themes is this sort of struggle between this real world that we talked about, even in the theater space, mm-hmm. what you're looking at, and a virtual mm-hmm. world now created by digital technology.
That's
a big part of your struggle, your character struggle, right?
That's right. And Talia and I talk about this often. We have this idea that technology is somehow impersonal, but actually drone warfare is very personal because the pilot is actually seeing the age and the sex of the individuals on the ground, as opposed to just dropping a bomb and flying on to the next thing. It's
more intimate than the actual adventure of flying that F-16.
Absolutely. One could argue that, yeah.
From your barca lounger. Could you do a part of a scene for us?
Love to. I have to drop Sam off at daycare now. An extra special drop-off. Kiss her goodbye and go to the war. Sit in a chair and cross the desert to sit in a chair in a freezing trailer to follow the convoy. Follow the convoy. The convoy. I'm jolted awake by laughter. I've fallen asleep and hit my head on the screen, and that is funny. A riot. Turns out they were taking bets how long it would take. Everybody does it, they say. Sooner or later, everybody... Wait. I see something. A dot which zooms into a man which pans to be several men by the side of the road 2 miles up from our boys. They are doing something. They are doing something to the road. They are military-age males, you can tell. The cameras are that good, you can tell. You can tell how old, if they're women, men, children. You can't see faces, not really. But you don't need to. Your mind fills them in. And these are the faces of military-age males by the side of the road. I notify the team. Await confirmation. The headset pronounces the males guilty. I feel my pulse quicken. Ridiculous. I'm sweating, my pits, my hands. I am not there. I can't be killed. The threat of death has been removed. There is no danger to me, none. I am the eye in the sky. There is no danger. But my pulse quickens. Why does it quicken? I am not in combat. If combat is risk, if combat is danger, if combat is combat, I am not in it. But my pulse quickens. It's not a fair fight, but it quickens. I wait. The eye in the sky waits for the putty people to get closer together. Closer. Just a little closer. Closer. There. I press the button. I watch the screen. A moment. A moment. And boom. A silent gray boom. Oops! One of them is still running. A squirter. One is still alive. My 19-year-old follows the squirter with the camera. I follow him with the plane. He is below us. I press the button. Boom. He is not. We cheer, the team and I. I high-five my 19-year-old. The guilty are gone. I did this. We did this. We are thanked by the convoy. We say no problem. I'm vibrating. My knuckles are white, white. Was I flying? Was that flying? They're white like they used to be. White.
Madeline Lambert from the play Grounded, which starts Friday at Man Bites Dog Theater and runs through April 5th. A remarkable insight into the difference, I think, between the adventure of flying, as you said, mm-hmm. and this much more intimate and yet distant kind of warfare. There's another struggle, and that is the sort of turning that off and then having to go home, which F-16 fighters in the theater don't do. They go back to base, right? So that's the other struggle. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, there are moments in the play that the pilot has lost her community. She remembers fondly hanging out with her cohorts and the boys, as she calls them, and having a beer and playing pool. And now she drives back through the desert and goes home where she's a mother and a wife, and her world's blur.
Talk about the writing in this. You know, you used that word when Madeline used the word, her character, called the survivor a squirter.
Mm-hmm.
It just sent a shock of adrenaline through me, the idea that a live body, and I began to see the spurting blood, and then I imagine military people using it, numbing themselves to the impact of a human being escaping, being called a squirter. All of that just flashed in that word. Talk about the writing and the way George uses words.
Oh, my God. This play is incredible. It's incredible. It's been such a gift to work on it. No word is amiss. Everything is accounted for. Everything is important, evocative. It's this idea, you know, that we were just talking about using your imagination to fill in the faces that, you know, in that piece. And also just this idea that you don't have anything to hide behind. These words are so evocative, and she has nothing to hide behind besides these words, that we can't help but fill in faces, and we can't help but put our own humanity into this piece. It becomes very personal. And I think if you were to sit around and have a conversation after the play, and I really hope people who come to the play sit around and have a conversation afterwards, because it's a hard play to let go of. I think you'd find that everyone's experience of the play was slightly different and incredibly personal, because you can't hear a word like squirter and not reel and go to some very dark place personally, even if you are in the military. I'd be curious to see what would happen if someone in the military came to see this play and they would recognize certain things. But you recognize the pattern of language, how people use language to numb themselves. And
well, that's the power of art, isn't it? It's to take what we say every day and let pass over us or pass through us or even let anesthetize us and hear those words in a brand new way and understand them in a context that had been unavailable to us.
So absolutely.
That's the power, and also the power of the spare set, it seems to me. I mean, if you think about the difference between the power of this and, say, a Miss Saigon, where you actually land the helicopter and everything is taken away from you. I mean, the power of to imagine is just lost in the noise of the spectacle. And I'm wondering, too, Madeline, it seems to me there's an interesting parallel between what your character has to go through in sort of leaving the Naugahyde Barca Lounger and going to a real home.
Right.
And what an actor does, I mean, in the sense of having to get in and out of character and embody a role that you're doing as a soldier, and then embody another role as a mother and when you go home.
Well, George, I love this term that he uses in the play. He says, clap off the game. And her husband, the pilot's husband, invites her to clap off the game when she comes home. And that's something that as an actor, I think you have to do. You sort of have to wipe your feet at the end of the day and be able to go to the grocery store and not carry the story with you. But I will say, I think good acting is when you bring yourself to the work. And so there is a level of personalization. I have not been a fighter pilot, but I have been in situations where my adrenaline is rushing so hard, and I know what that is. So, you know, the story is challenging, and
well, has it changed any of your thoughts about? I mean, we read about war, and we sort of have our thoughts as they pass through. We see the stories and read them. Have you thought about modern warfare differently, just having done this play?
Absolutely. I mean, I know that it's a hot topic. I know, for example, 2 days ago in the New York Times, there was this op-ed piece about the drones controlling the military, and it's something that we're constantly talking about. But it really opened my eyes to the personal nature of drone warfare and the psychological ramifications of that and the ethical parameters of that. And I definitely feel more passionate about that and about the use of drone warfare.
Tadya, how about you?
It's so interesting. I was born and raised in New York City, and I live there now. And in the subways, if you've ever been to New York, they have these signs that say, if you see something, say something. It's the anti-terrorism slogan. And it's encouraging New Yorkers because New Yorkers are so used to just putting the blinders on to crazy things happening all around them that you really do have – there are – that you have an obligation, if you see something happening, to report it. And I think about that slogan often. This play has sort of rattled it around in my brain a little bit because, you know, in this age where you can literally get online, you could see any part of the world on Google Maps, the idea of public and private space has changed dramatically and what that means. And I think that it's changed the way, you know, in terms of, you know, your question is about warfare, but in a sense, it's also about, you know, this play is about warfare, but what it brings up is that it's actually blending the lines between going to the war, and we think of the war as someplace not on our soil, and it's bringing it back to our soil because these pilots are flying these drones from Nevada, from the United States, and they walk among us, and they're dealing with a world that's 12 hours ahead, and what is our obligation?
Yeah, it invites us to open our eyes, see it, and then say something about it.
Exactly.
It's fantastic. Talya and Madeline, thank you so much for being in the program.
Thanks for having
us. Our pleasure.
Talya Klein is the director of Grounded at Man Bites Dog Theater. Madeline Lambert stars in that play. It's a one-woman show, and it opens this Friday, runs through April 5th. For more information, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Modafferi, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.